It's 1:15, and we are live on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley and John Easter in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight.
Live intro. Live intro. Something different this time.
Wow, that sounded live and direct.
Yeah. I had to change it up a little bit, and I had to throw in John Easter, because normally it just says Owen Pulley and Jackson White. Yeah. Wait, who is John Easter?
I don't know.
That guy is...
some jerk.
I always hear his name, but I don't know where he's at and where he comes from.
I think he does PA for Franklin Central or something.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is.
I don't either.
That's kind of a good question. But we have lots to talk about today when it comes to the sports world. Owen introduced us once. But I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Owen Pulley and John Easter.
Wait, I'm John Easter?
I think so. I'm not really sure.
That's what you guys should do. You should get a different person to play me on the show every day.
Have Christian come in.
Drag
some
BDTV people over. Get Kansas Robinson in here to play John Easter.
It can be a grade.
You know, if anybody can pull it off. I mean, Kansas can do everything. So.
Yeah. But we have lots to talk about today. The NBA playoffs are set officially, almost.
Uh-huh.
Almost there. As the 7th seeds are set, the 8th seeds are not. So one more play-in game, and then it will be the official NBA playoffs. So we're going to get a little bit of a playoff intro going into it, because the playoffs start this weekend. And then the Pacers, there's some rumors going on with them, with Russell Westbrook. I heard that, and I shook my head, but it's a rumor, and we have to talk about it. MLB, lots going on in the MLB. Owen has lots to talk about that. Then the Colts and the NFL news. The Colts yesterday had a visit with the cornerback Stephon Gilmore, former Defensive Player of the Year. And the rumor is that Jim Mersay sent a jet.
Yeah, I heard that.
Stephon and when the jet Gilmore. Gets sent, typically good things happen.
Yeah.
So we will see.
He didn't send him to the Jets. He sent a jet for him.
Yeah, not the Jets. I don't think he would want to go there.
No.
But Gilmore says he wants to come to a team that is playoff ready and playoff built. The Colts now, with Matt Ryan at the helm, are playoff ready and playoff built. So we will see. But Gilmore, if he joins the Colts defense, that easily puts them, I think, in the top 7 threshold of the top defensive teams in the NFL. In all reality, I think they're there already if they have a good pass rush next season with the playmakers they have at every position. But that's what we're going to talk about last in the show. But now we have to talk about the NBA.
The National Basketball Association.
So it's like we talked about Tuesday. We know the top 6 seeds. And now another team in both conferences has been confirmed. The 7th seed in the Eastern Conference is going to be the Brooklyn Nets. They put it to the Cleveland Cavaliers last Tuesday night. And that was a game we all rooted for the Cavaliers, because if the Cavaliers won, the Pacers get an extra first-round pick because of the trade with Caris LeVert earlier in the season. But the Cavaliers lost. They get another chance, though. We'll talk about it in a minute. Going to the Western Conference now. A team, this game was crazy. I don't know if any of you guys watched it, but Timberwolves, Clippers, this went back and forth. The Timberwolves ended up winning, and whenever they won, they really celebrated like they won the NBA championship, and they just made the playoffs. But,
did you see that the one girl who's like the Timberwolves owner, I forgot his name, but apparently he owns like a chicken farm or something.
Uh-huh.
And they were doing some inhumane things to the chickens. So one girl like glued her hand to the court mid-game to like protest the game. But she used Elmer's school glue, and they just got her off in like 2 seconds. And there's still like a mark on the court. There's like just basically a little film, like white residue on the court of just like a palm.
That is interesting. That's something I did hear about that. I didn't know.
I saw the video.
Because she was like just putting her hand down there like, ma'am, move your. And she's like, no.
Protest aside, but you got to do a better job protesting if you're just going to put Elmer's glue on
your hand.
Like, run out in the court or something if you want to do that. I mean, obviously, she's going to get banned from the stadium either way.
But she did it on like the very end of the paint,
like very end of the court, underneath the bed. And the announcers were like, "Oh, there's someone who's fallen down on the court." We don't know. There's a delay down there. Just they really didn't know what was going on, but yeah.
So, interesting game, gameplay and on anything, and off the court.
Not saying anything about the cause there, but yeah, that was just not the smartest way to protest.
If you're gonna protest, I mean, freedom of speech, protest, whatever, but like, don't glue your hand to a court during a playing game.
Here's the other thing about that. Freedom of speech does not cover you going out in the middle of an NBA game.
As long as you're not hurting anybody, freedom of speech is allowed, but protesting
No, that's not true either.
Oh, it isn't? I thought it was when as long as you're not like hurting anybody or threatening anybody.
No. Well, we don't want to get into a civics lesson here, but the point is, it was just like there was this is another off topic thing here, but there was a guy who was arrested for putting Joe Biden stickers on gas pumps, he was all yelling First Amendment does not give you the right to go put stickers on somebody's gas pump.
Like, that's defacing something. Yeah,
exactly. It's so it doesn't give you the right to glue yourself to an NBA court.
Right.
But she probably knew that.
Yeah.
She was wanting to get arrested. And,
yeah.
You know, there you go.
I mean, she got public attention for it.
Yeah, she did. And people probably saw what her cause was. And they'll decide if they want to support it or not. But that's the way it goes. You were saying.
But the Timberwolves beat the Clippers.
Long tangent there.
But that game was back and forth. I think Timberwolves really look like they're a team that could really come to play in this playoffs. They take on the Grizzlies, I do believe, either Monday or Sunday. I don't know if they play on Sunday because of Easter, but I would assume if they play on Christmas. But
John?
That's Easter? His birthday, Easter.
It's not my birthday. I cannot take credit for anything having to do with
Well, wouldn't that mean
Easter?
Your birthday would change every year?
It could, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I always forget if it's like that. I think it's the first Sunday of...
It has to do with sunrises and...
Because sometimes it's in March.
Yeah. Calendars.
I think it has to do with like Ash Wednesday and the day.
Yeah, it has to do with a lot of the sun, moon, and...
That's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, Easter is a Sunday. So
it is.
Congrats to Mr. Easter.
Again, I don't have anything to do.
But going back to the NBA, the Timberwolves are guaranteed a playoff spot. The seventh seed, they'll take on the Grizzlies. Now, going now to a game that will happen tomorrow night. So, going back to the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers were a top 8 team. They actually finished 7th in the Eastern Conference prior to the play-in game. So, the Cavs get another shot to make the playoffs. They will take on the Atlanta Hawks, who beat the Charlotte Hornets last night by a big margin. So whoever wins that game will get the 8th seed and play Miami in the playoffs. So that will be a interesting one. And now going to the Western Conference, the Clippers. They were in the top 8 of the playoff bracket prior to the play-in. They lost to the Timberwolves. So they will play the Pelicans tomorrow night as well in a play-in game. So that will be interesting.
The Boats and the Birds, Clippers and the Pelicans. And then the Birds and the mythical creature, or not mythic, Cavaliers, like...
Swords.
Yes.
Swords.
Horsemen.
People in armor and horsemen and have swords shields.
Three of the four mascots, I believe, are birds because the Clippers have like some random like bird.
Their mascot is not a bird.
But they're not birds.
Yeah, it's like a dodo bird, I think.
The Clippers came from the San Diego Clippers.
I don't even know what a clipper is.
It's a ship.
Oh.
It's a boat. Like
the scissors.
Sailboat.
Like, you know, you
call clippers. That a clipper.
Huh.
Yeah. Or, you know, if they move to Calgary, they could call themselves the Alberta Clippers.
Hey.
That's a storm.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Canadian NBA besides the Raptors.
But the Clippers... but the Clippers were named the San Diego Clippers, and they were like sailboats.
Yeah,
you were saying.
But going back to the playoffs of the NBA once again, there is teams that are in the playoffs.
We're already off script, aren't we?
And clinched the playoffs, so we're going to talk about that. But so you have the first series that will start on Saturday at 1, game 1, will be the Dallas Mavericks by brand new head coach Jason Kidd. Luka Doncic most likely not going to play against the Utah Jazz, a team that has been up and down all season. They have Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. So I think this is going to be a really good series, but it all depends on the health of Luka Doncic.
Yeah, and you know, in the NBA or in the NBA playoffs, it's so important to get off to a good start in your series, because that just kind of sets the tone for the rest of the series. And not having Luka is going to be a big thing for Coach Kidd and the Mavs, especially against you know, a team like the Jazz, who they have had their moments this season. And you know, talking about nicknames, gosh, talk about a nickname that probably should have stayed in New Orleans, the Jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jazz in Utah. It's like, oh.
Right.
They're the New Orleans
it's
Jazz.
It's not like they just moved there, I know, but
then they have,
it's
like,
just weird.
It was weird, too, because they had like the New Orleans Hornets and then the Bobcats and everything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I liked Bobcats better than.
Bobcats sadly died.
Yep.
Back when they had 12-win seasons.
Then they changed names. They're like, yeah, we can't do this anymore.
Now yeah, we're going back to the Hornets.
But in a different city now instead of New Orleans Pelicans.
But the Hornets were originally in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now they're back.
Now they're back in
Michael
Charlotte.
Jordan.
Yep.
And losing in the play-in. They've lost in both play-in games. They lost to the Pacers last year, which was crazy. Pacers almost made the playoffs last season.
I know.
That's kind of funny. And then, obviously, they lost this year to the Hawks. But now we have the number two-seeded Memphis Grizzlies taking on the number seven-seed Minnesota Timberwolves. And these teams are evenly matched. The Timberwolves extremely young with Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. They even have Patrick Beverley on that team. They have lots of stardom. And then you have the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies, who are probably one of the best, hottest teams in the NBA all season long. MVP candidate John Morant. And they just, I mean, they're 22-2 without Morant in the lineup. And they have a really good record with him in the lineup as well. So this is going to be a really good series. Two of the youngest stars in the league, Anthony Edwards versus John Morant. And but I'm going to have to take one of the best teams in the league in the Memphis Grizzlies to win this series. The Grizzlies are just the better team going into it. They're better coached. And the Grizzlies, they just look like they could be contenders. And this team isn't even ready to win now.
Right. And you want to see Memphis do well. You know, the Grizzlies, kind of a hard luck franchise since they came in the league. But the Pacers have had a lot more success than the Grizzlies have had.
The Pacers and the Grizzlies of the past, like, era. Not like...
Yeah, not since the Grizzlies have been... The Grizzlies came in the, early 90s? I think they came in at the same time. The Toronto came in with the Raptors.
I think 1992.
Yeah, so
Originally Vancouver. Yeah,
they were Vancouver. In Vancouver.
Still the greatest logo of all time in the NBA. Yeah.
And they were horrible. So, you know, Vancouver, they moved to Memphis. They had some success with Hubie Brown was there. They had some success. They've had some success, and then they kind of tanked again. And now obviously one of the best teams in the league now. So you want to see them do well, at least I do, for that franchise, for the city of Memphis. You know, this is their thing, other than the college team. This is their thing because they don't have a pro NFL team. They don't have Major League Baseball. They're an NBA city. So
kind of just outshone by
Nashville. They don't have an
Nashville.
NHL team. They don't have an NHL team. I mean, Memphis is a huge city, too. I don't think people realize how big Memphis is. So this is their team.
And they do have the giant Bass Pro Shop that was
formerly
the stadium.
Yeah, that used to be the Pyramid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's going to be a good playoff series, to say the least. And the Grizzlies, I'm not saying the Grizzlies have the historic impact of the Pacers. I'm saying the teams are kind of built the same. Kind of the Pacers are kind of like could be next year's Grizzlies, I think, with the pieces.
Yeah. Oh, I got you now.
But, I mean, that's going to be a good series. The Timberwolves are a scary seven seed. You do not want to face them. They're hot. Now going to a game in the Eastern Conference as the 5 and 4 take off as those 76ers take on the Raptors. And this is going to be an extremely good game as well. The 76ers are a team that has kind of been iffy this season at times, but great other times. The MVP candidate Joel Embiid, former league MVP James Harden, who has struggled of late by far, only averaging 20 a game. But I think James Harden's still one of the best in the league. And then you have the Toronto Raptors, a team that people would think would go into a rebuild after Kawhi Leonard left to L.A., but yet they've stayed consistent. They have one of the best coaches in the league in Nick Nurse, and they're just such a scrappy team. They know how to find players magically, and, a great defensive coach in Nick Nurse, former Pacers head coach Nate Bjorkgren.
Bjorkgren,
yeah. Used to be a Pacers head coach now over there back in Toronto where he came from. And they have some good players too, Pascal Siakam. Obviously, the 76ers have more star power, but if James Harden plays really bad, I think the Raptors have a shot because the Raptors have done always a great job guarding Embiid. Embiid's only game not scoring any points 2 years ago versus Toronto. Obviously, Embiid's a better player now than he was 2 years ago, but he was still a perimeter all-star 2 years ago. The Raptors, great defense, but the Sixers have two stars. If Harden plays poor or Embiid plays poor, they both have to play well. I think the Raptors have a shot, but I think the 76ers are going to have the advantage.
I think you nailed it when you talked about how well-run the Raptors franchise is.
Mm-hmm.
They do always just seem to be in it now, even when they may not have the roster. And I think that goes back to Nick Nurse and just the way their scouting department puts things together. They're an excellent franchise. The Sixers are kind of trying to the Pacers are following that game plan of get really, 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 really bad and then build your team back up. But now the Sixers certainly have a great roster, have an experienced coach in Doc Rivers, who it's kind of interesting. Both of these coaches are rumored to be on the Lakers shortlist. Why would either coach leave their thing? Why would Doc Rivers leave the Sixers to go back to L.A.?
He was in L.A. earlier.
Why on earth would Nick Nurse leave a good thing in Toronto to go to L.A.? I don't get it. Unless it's just you want to coach the Lakers. But, you know, I've often said, let's make sure that there are some things in my contract that say this is what's going to happen when I'm the coach of the Lakers, so I don't become like Frank Vogel. But specifically, I think you nailed it too on the head. This game probably rises, or this series rises and falls on the shoulders of what James Harden does, because he's the X factor for the Sixers. You know, you certainly talk about the Sixers on paper; they're probably they're definitely better than the one seed in the East on paper. Which is Miami, but you know they're a tremendous basketball team on paper. They've kind of underachieved maybe a little bit this year, but we talked about how close the Eastern Conference is. Really, there's no favorite right mm-hmm. now in the East. You could even see maybe one of the teams play-in.
You look at the Eastern Conference, and you could say the Brooklyn Nets can win it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could say the Raptors could go on a run. I wouldn't say win it all, but win the East. I think the champion will come out of the West. I think the Suns are going to win it all. That team looks unbeatable. But
they have the best record in the league.
They have the best record. They have, I would say, the best core of players.
And good for Phoenix. That's another
franchise.
Another franchise that, you know, was in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're,
mm-hmm. and they're really good. Obviously, you have the reigning, defending, undisputed NBA champions right now. The Milwaukee Bucks sitting at the 3 seed, sitting pretty well. We'll talk about them in a second. But now going to another Western Conference game. And the Golden State Warriors, whose new slogan is gold-blooded, that might sound familiar. The Pacers use that slogan all season.
Yeah.
But yet the Warriors come in, they make the playoffs, and they say, hashtag gold-blooded.
My favorite is still the blue-collar gold swagger.
I still think that was the best.
Well, they ran that for like 5 years, and I loved it. I don't know why they went away from it. But besides the
Paul George.
I guess. But I just don't know. It's just funny because the Warriors are now just stealing the Pacers slogan.
I'm surprised that the Pacers social media, as good as they are, didn't call them out.
All the Pacers fans are on Twitter.
But you know how good the Pacers social media people are. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised they did not call them out.
Yeah, they might make a
meme
about it.
The Colts social media would have.
Oh, 100%. The Colts have one of the best social medias out there.
I think Blue just in general would call somebody out.
Oh, he would have made like 5 TikToks or something. Yeah. But they play the 6-seeded Denver Nuggets. And the Nuggets, who it's been linked, and Jokic is going to repeat as MVP. I don't know if that's true, but Jokic, MVP candidate again. This team has gone through a lot. Jamal Murray has not played all season with an ACL injury. Michael Porter Jr., a guy who went out early, one of their starters. This team is Jokic in all. But the ultimate thing in this series is Stephen Curry going to be healthy? If Stephen Curry is healthy, Golden State has a chance to go to the finals. If Stephen Curry is not healthy, Golden State most likely is going to get beat by the Nuggets. It's that much. Jordan Poole, great player for the Warriors. He averaged 20 this season. Yeah, Klay Thompson, he's back. He averaged 20 in the games he played. Draymond Green, he's the best single-double ever. He'll get 7.7 rebounds, 7 assists every night. He's past his prime. The Warriors, I mean, they have a decent coach in Steve Kerr. I don't think he's as good as people made him out to be. He just had the best team. But he's still a good coach. The Nuggets have a really good coach as well.
What I like about Steve Kerr is the same thing that I like about Greg Popovich and some of the other coaches. They use their platform very well.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr will use his platform to amplify, whether it's social justice or things that he cares about. He uses his platform very well. But I get what you're saying as far as maybe the X's and O's. We saw Luke Walton coach that team and do very well when he was there. Did
just the same. I mean, whenever the team was 73-9, I could have been the head coach, and that team probably still would have won a bunch of games.
It may have been 72-10, but yeah.
I mean, you could put anyone in that slot with that team and probably have been fine.
Just unlock the gym and let them go.
Because they knew the offense. They ran their own offense. I mean, at times Draymond Green was the coach. At times he would draw up a play. So, I mean, the Warriors, they still have a bunch of good players.
But I will say this, too. It takes – I mean, Phil Jackson never would have allowed that.
Oh, no.
It takes somebody to say, man, I'm just going to get out of these guys' way.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to credit him for that because coaches are ego fanatics. I'm not saying, you know, I mean, they're coaching for a reason. You hire them to lead the team, and a lot of them are coaching – and their ego gets in the way, and they've got to do everything. Their fingerprints have to be on everything. Steve Kerr never really has struck me as that kind of guy. If he's got guys that can lead, he's going to let them lead. And, you know, hats off to him.
So
if you got Stephen Curry,
just let him play.
Uh-huh. Get out of his way.
But before we talk about the rest of the playoffs going on, we are going to take a quick break and send it now to Owen before he leaves and talk a little bit about the MLB.
Yeah, so the MLB coming in full swing now. Got the MLB background music on Fox Sports. Good, that's a good song. I like that. But going right into it, Vlad Guerrero Jr. having a great game yesterday, hit 3 home runs. He hit a home run, got spiked in the hand trying to scoop a ball at first base, and then hit 2 more. Clayton Kershaw had 7 perfect innings, had a perfect game going through 7 with only 80 pitches and got pulled, but the Dodgers ended up winning 7-0. The Red Sox and Tigers had a slugfest, 9-7 was the final score there. Pete Alonso, 2 doubles and a home run, 5 RBIs, and the Mets went against the Phillies. And today the Athletics are up on the Rays, 3-0 in the bottom of the second. The Mariners and White Sox will play. Cardinals and Brewers, Nationals, Pirates, Phillies, Marlins, Blue Jays, Yankees, Angels, Rangers, Tigers, Royals, Braves, Padres, Cubs, Rockies, and Reds, Dodgers. So that's all the games that are going to go on today. So the MLB getting into full swing now. The season just got kicked off last week, but it can only go farther and farther from here.
Do you have any more news about the MLB?
I think that's about it.
How do you think the MLB's going? Of course, there was the controversy yesterday, the 8 perfect, almost perfect game thrown by Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's pulled after only throwing 80 pitches in the 8th inning. So, you know, he's facing the last, 6 batters, and he gets pulled.
Yeah, I mean, he was pitching really well.
Now, he agreed with
Dave Roberts.
Yeah, he agreed with the manager's decision.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that?
I think it's still early, and he even agreed with it, like you said, with the lockout, not throwing the ball.
He was coming off injury. Yeah, pretty serious injury.
Yeah, and being an older guy and throwing 80 pitches is still not that much, but at the same time, too, it's more than some other guys.
I thought it was interesting if you read between the lines, because he was like, yeah, I agree with it, but I really would have liked to.
Right, he would have done it, and probably would have thrown it.
Maybe I'll get another opportunity. But if he had done it, would have only been the 25th perfect game.
I think so.
In Major League Baseball history, if he had been able. Now, there's no guarantee.
Right. He still had 6 more batters to face.
He could have had a horrible inning, and you know. But that was pretty surprising. I think there's a time that he never would have gotten pulled.
I think even, I don't know, probably 3 months from now, he's not getting pulled.
Yeah. So you think it was just early season coming off injury?
Yeah. And I think that's fully what it was. But other news on the Dodgers, Trevor Bauer being placed on administrative leave even further till April 22nd, and they'll reevaluate it then. So we'll just have to see with Trevor Bauer being kind of the controversial player. Even before all the allegations and everything like that, he's controversial before that. So we'll just have to see there.
Yeah, so just some MLB news for you. And that's definitely interesting to say the least. But we are going to take a quick 1 minute break and then come back with more NBA stuff, the Pacers, Russell Westbrook rumors, and more. We'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
We loved him in Family Ties. We cheered him in Teen Wolf. And we revered him in Back to the Future. Now, Michael J. Fox is back, encouraging fellow fighters of Parkinson's disease to take the future into their own hands. In his most spirited and courageous role ever, this inspirational screen icon vows never to give up until a cure is found. Optimism. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. This is the second half of the show coming your way. And we talked a little bit about MLB, and now we're switching it back to NBA, talking about the rest of the games going on. So, since the play-in game of the Brooklyn Nets happened with the Boston Celtics, well, now the Nets will play the Boston Celtics in the playoffs as the 2 takes on the 7 as the Nets defeated the Cavs to get the 7th seed in the NBA playoffs. So, that's a pretty big series there. Boston, a team that really struggled. They were below 500 halfway through the season. Had a remarkable second half of the season. Now they're the second seed. Brooklyn obviously started hot, got slow. They had some injuries, obviously, the big old James Harden information news about that and everything. So lots of different dramas with both these teams, but they're two competitive teams that have a chance to move on, and one team will not after this one. And Brooklyn, obviously, they have two of the best players in the playoffs. You have Kevin Durant, a guy who's won a league MVP, a two-time NBA champion. You have Kyrie Irving, one-time NBA champion, who beat Golden State prior to them getting Kevin Durant. They have two of the best players in the playoffs. Ben Simmons, rumored to come back around Game 4 of that series. He's a premier all-star as well. So Brooklyn finally getting back to being able to really put it up. And then you have Boston, a team that has Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two of the best young stars in the league. They also have veterans, brand-new head coach Brad Stevenson. Stevens steps up to the front office, but Boston's still a really talented team, so this is going to be a good one as well. I'm probably going to say Brooklyn's going to win. I'd like to say Kevin Durant's the best player in this series, but it could go either way. And the real question is, if Brooklyn does lose once again in the playoffs in the first round — they lost in the second round to the Bucks last season — but if they lose again, the real question is the job of their head coach, Steve Nash, in question, because this will be a second year with the team, third year with the team, actually, and they have two playoff appearances to show for it, and only one playoff series win if they were to lose. That's going to be something interesting. Another playoff series is the 3 versus the 6, as the Chicago Bulls take on the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, the reigning defending champions. And the Chicago Bulls, a team that started the season really hot, the one seed there for a little bit, and then lost. They struggled the second half of the season. Lonzo Ball going to be out for the remainder of the year. And so that's going to be another playoff series that is quite interesting, to say the least. And just a playoff series there that could go either way. I think Milwaukee's obviously the clear favorite, but they've struggled at times. The Bulls kind of started off really hot. DeMar DeRozan was in the MVP conversation there for a minute. They've slowed down. They finished 46-36. They struggled in the last 10 of the regular season, winning 4 of their 10 to round out the regular season. But I would have to say the Bucks probably the favorite to win that series, and I'm going to pick the Bucks as well. And then, obviously, the one seeds, the Miami Heat, are waiting on the winner of the Cavs versus Hawks that will happen tomorrow night. Same with the Phoenix Suns, the best record in the NBA, looking to wait either the Clippers or the Pelicans. So lots of stuff going on in the NBA playoffs as the playoffs are back. And it's going to be fun to finally have the COVID eliminated practically going into the NBA playoffs. But now moving to the Indiana Pacers, a team that obviously is not in the NBA playoffs, but a team that has lots of rumors going around them when it comes to a player on the Los Angeles Lakers. It's been rumored Russell Westbrook possibly could be in play to come here and play for the Pacers, and I'm a person who is, no, do not do that. I'm against that full-heartedly. Russell Westbrook played poorly for the Lakers. It's that simple. Obviously, I think Russell Westbrook's better than what people make him out to be, but the Indiana Pacers are a team that is in a position not to really win now. And Russell Westbrook's a player that I don't know who can be on a winning team because he's a player. He's a team player, but I don't know. He has to be the number one option. And with a team that already has a franchise point guard in Tyrese Halliburton, I don't see the need to bring in Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is a guy who is still an all-star caliber player. He didn't fit in with the Lakers, and that was obvious. But people like to say that, he's on an expiring deal. You have to trade out Brogdon, who obviously people want to move. You have to move Buddy Hield as well. The Lakers get better. The Pacers don't. They obviously would get some first-round picks from the Lakers. Who knows if those are going to be good? LeBron could retire by the time 2027 rolls around. Maybe the Lakers are terrible again. The Pacers get a top pick. That's something you could put in play. But for a team right now, the Pacers, who are trying to improve this offseason, I think getting Russell Westbrook takes them a step back. They want to go young. They've done that. They've proved that, trading away Domantas Sabonis for Tyrese Halliburton and other pieces. I think this team should shy away from the Russell Westbrook concept of things. Obviously, Malcolm Brogdon, I would expect him to be moved. He does not fit the current dynamic of the Indiana Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton is the point guard of the future, and I think that's obvious how they played the final 10 games of the season. Malcolm Brogdon only played in two of the last 10, and they rested him practically for the last 8. And they played better without Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon's a guy who's played well when healthy, but is most likely on the injury report around 40 of the 82 games. So that's a guy who only is going to play half the season. That's not what you want. That's going to be a question. What will they do with Malcolm Brogdon? Obviously, Buddy Hield, second in the NBA in three-pointers made. The Pacers announced that today. That's a big feat. He's a really good shooter. That's something that the Pacers need. That's what they've been lacking the past couple seasons, so that could be something you could be in play in a possible trade-out. He is 29 years old, but I think if he can fit in this core, they could really have him for the final couple years and try to open this window, try to win back another championship if they have an opportunity with Tyrese Halliburton. But the draft lottery is going to be something you're going to have to watch out for because that can really show the future of the team and just simply that 30-minute section of the NBA draft lottery showing who the Pacers possibly could get in the NBA draft and what pick they will have. But it's going to be interesting. Big offseason coming for the Indiana Pacers. But a team that has been in the offseason now for a while. Our final segment, the Indianapolis Colts, yesterday hosted a visit to free agent cornerback Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore, the former Patriots and Panthers cornerback, also played for the Bills back in the day, came to Indianapolis on a visit to meet with the Colts. Gilmore now is nearing the age 30. Defensive player of the year just 2 years ago for the New England Patriots and Tom Brady's last season as a Patriot. He was the defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore was. Last season, he was banged up for half the year and then got traded to the Panthers and played decent there. He's still a very capable player. He's going to have a pretty penny on him, but if you can bring a guy like Gilmore into this Colts defense, I really think that puts them atop of a lot of other defenses in the league. They already have playmakers on every side of the ball when it comes to defense. You have Kenny Moore, one of the best slot cornerbacks in the league, and you have Julian Blackman in the safety place right there in safety, who's another talented playmaker when it comes to taking the ball away. And then you have the best linebacker at taking the ball away as well, and Darius Leonard, Bobby Okereke, another guy, another talented linebacker for the Colts. Then you have Ngakoue, the new guy that they got for Rock Ya-Sin, who was a corner. Corner is a need for the Colts. and the Ngakoue coming off the edge, and obviously the big down low for the Pacers as well as Buckner. So the Colts. I think if they can get a guy like Stephon Gilmore, that will help their defense improve from a B plus defense to an A minus defense. Because Gilmore, if he can just kind of channel his former self when he was with the New England Patriots, I mean that would just be a really big upgrade at cornerback for a team that's cornerback needy. And the real question is, how would he fit in with this team? And I think he fit in just fine. He's a guy who's not a loud mouth and a shutdown corner, and he's going to play hard. Gus Bradley, the new defensive coordinator, likes to play a cover three. Gilmore played a cover three in New England. The schemes fit, but will the Colts wanting to be giving up big money to a guy who is the top cornerback in this league? That will be the question. But Irsay did say, it was reported that Jim Irsay sent a jet to go get the cornerback for formerly for the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers, Stephon Gilmore. So it will be interesting to see if anything happens from that. This happened yesterday. No reports yet on if a deal was signed or a deal could be possible. But they did meet, so that is something to keep an eye out for. And lots of other good free agents out on the board as well. It's definitely going to be interesting to see if the Colts are going to pull the trigger. What will they do? Obviously, the NFL draft is nearing. It's not this month, but it will be next month. So it's going to be definitely interesting to see what the Colts do in the next month or so until the NFL draft, and then this team is really going to come up shape and see what they're going to be next season. Obviously, the weapons are still a problem on offense for the Colts. Jack Doyle retires. They need a tight end. I think they needed a tight end if Jack Doyle even plays the next season, but he won't since he's retired. Receivers, another big hole for the Colts. I would say their biggest hole when it comes down to it, receiver and cornerback going into today. Wide receiver, they have Michael Pittman Jr. and a bunch of guys, including Paris Campbell, that have not really provided much of NFL, I wouldn't say experience, but much of NFL statistics, guys who really haven't performed that well. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they do at receiver. There's still lots of guys on the free agent market, and this is a really good receiver draft. So we will have to see. We will have to see if the Colts can pull the trigger on anything of these free agents in the next few weeks. But yeah, the Colts in a position where they have a quarterback now to win now, and they have a defense that can win now too, as Stephon Gilmore. I mean, they're in a really good position. But now, welcome back to the show. We had to go talk out to kids in the hallway. Yeah. John Easter.
We had a group of eighth graders from Cascade Middle School with us today. So we had two huge groups. I didn't get to talk to the one group, but yeah, kind of surprised us with the last two. But this group was good. They were interested.
Well, there we go. But as we've been talking about here for the past 10 minutes, Stephon Gilmore took a visit with the Colts yesterday.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I former defensive player of the year, and anytime that you can get somebody of that talent level and experience into your locker room, I think that's a good thing. And certainly if Jim Irsay's sending his jet, I think it was reported that he sent his jet. But I think that tells you that he's interested in getting that guy in here, and probably Chris Ballard is too, I would assume.
I mean, Gilmore, a guy, like I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, a cover three guy. The Colts now going to be playing cover three next season.
With Gus Bradley as the new defensive coordinator.
With the new DC and Gus
John
Bradley.
Fox coming in as his senior defensive assistant.
Practically another defensive
pretty much
coordinator.
Co-defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and then you have playmakers at all positions. You have another good corner in Kenny Moore, who can play the slot. But the Colts, I mean, they have Isaiah Rogers, another guy who's probably going to be on the other side of Gilmore if you were to sign. But if they can get a lockdown cornerback like Stephon Gilmore, I know he's took a step down from his defensive player of the year, but he's still an elite talent, elite player. If they can get a guy in here, I think their defense, that pushes them into, top seven, maybe even top five.
Right. Yeah, and the Colts, you know, still with what they've done or not done on the offensive side of the football, you're still going to have a defense here that can hold teams to 20 points. If the Colts get that, they're going to be a really good football team next year. If you could get a team that you're holding them under 25 points, I think you're going to win a lot of games next year.
And you have a running back in the backfield that can give you 25 points right. Almost every week in right. Jonathan Taylor. So this team, I know that us as Colts fans wish they would just snap of a finger, sign all these free agents.
Jarvis Landry, come on, get it done.
But
it doesn't quite work that way.
I think we know how Chris Ballard works.
Yeah.
He is going to work like a snail and then come out champion. And he's done that his whole entire tenure here. And that's why people respect him as one of the best general managers in the NFL. He truly is.
Well, and he doesn't, some GMs are knee-jerk, know. Some are, they're really kind of knee-jerk on that. But that's not Chris Ballard.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the Colts, whole entire Colts organization, and they do such a good job on social media as well. I think they have a draft series. I watched it last night with the next pick. It's kind of like what it was on Hard Knocks, but more Colts-oriented. The Colts put it out every offseason, and it really shows what they all do in their draft rooms and their when it comes to signing free agents, all the trades they do with the Matt Ryan trade. I mean, this team, they work and they run really well. And a team that just a couple of years ago prior to Chris Ballard wasn't run the best in the – in the front office.
Right, right.
And it seems like they've done such a great job. But you can give them all the credit in the world. They have one playoff win since Chris Ballard was hired. And it's win now time. It's
right.
Win now time. Or else.
Yeah, or else there are going to be changes, I think. I think first one to go would be Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't win next year, I think if you don't win a playoff game next year, I think Frank Reich's seat becomes hotter.
I don't know if he'll get fired.
I don't know if he'll get fired.
If they don't make the playoffs,
depends. Oh. I think it depends too on circumstance. Let's say heaven forbid some major player were to get hurt, and that has a detrimental effect on the season. I think that would be one thing. But if there's no reason. If people stay healthy, everything works as it should, and they just can't beat the Jaguars at the end of the season again, I think that's, a situation where, that's going to be bad.
I just hope we don't play Jacksonville in week 17 or week 18, whatever it is.
Start out at Jacksonville week one.
Yeah, and then if we can get that, because we lose the first game of the season anyway.
Right.
So we can get the loss in Jacksonville and the first loss of the season out of the way, and then we'll be rolling.
Maybe finish at Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Something like that.
We always seem to win at Tennessee and then lose
here
when Tennessee comes here.
Right, right.
That's kind of the weird thing. And then we always beat Houston.
Yeah.
So
just something like that. That would be really nice. Because it's still warm, so you're not like playing a cold weather game up somewhere. Or let's see, the Colts next year, they get the NFC East, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the AFC West.
That's going to be hard.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, the South is what it is. And then they'll be playing the second place schedule. So they'll have the other second place teams. When you look at the schedule, I know they'll be playing the Raiders in Las Vegas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other? The Raiders, the Chiefs, the Denver Broncos. Yeah, you don't want to get that Denver game last. Is Denver here or is Denver there?
I think Denver's there.
Okay, so if the Colts have to go to Denver, you don't want to get that Denver game in, January.
Then you have the Chargers, too.
The Chargers. Chargers be a nice place.
I think the Chargers are going to come here.
Okay.
Because the last time we played them, Phillip Rivers
there.
Was on
yep,
the team.
It was
and
there.
That was week one.
Yep.
So Kansas City will be
at
here.
At the soccer stadium.
Yeah, Kansas City will be here as well.
Yep.
And I think we've played Oakland a few times.
Yeah, but when it goes on the division, it's where you were.
So I don't know where exactly it's going to be at.
So it would have been,
I think it's going to be in Oakland.
8 years ago, correct?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. So, well, no, but.
Wait, no, it will be here because the last time they played Oakland, whenever they played in the division, Andrew Luck was on the team, and that's when they went up to Oakland and beat them.
So that
Oakland's last season in Oakland.
That means Denver is away.
Yes, Denver will be.
Hope you don't get that Denver game the last week of the season.
No, you don't want that one.
Who's the 17th game for the Colts this year?
I don't know. I'm going to do research real quick.
Yeah, because, you had to throw that 17th game in that just kind of throws everything off. NFL scheduling was so nice and tidy. And then they threw in the 17th game. And, of course, last year that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which the Colts should have won that game.
Oh, yeah. I think so, to say the least. But I am currently researching who the Colts play.
Right. Colts will get the second place teams in the AFC. So, is that Miami? Buffalo?
Well, it should be New England.
So the Colts should get New England again. In the AFC North, second place was the division winner. There was, man, my brain is.
And which division?
The North, Cincinnati. So the second place was Baltimore.
Okay, I do have a whole entire schedule. So
the Colts schedule.
So the Colts home
on WBDGFM HD1 Indianapolis.
And there we go. The Colts home schedule for 2022.
All right.
Is going to be home versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers
with the new quarterback Mitch Trubisky. Home versus the Washington Commanders. Carson Wentz coming home. Not home anymore.
Right.
And then we had the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right, which is Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni returning. The Chargers at home. Then the Chiefs at home. The Titans at home. The Jags at home. And the Texans at home. And then away, we have to go up to Minnesota.
Right.
And then you have to play New England in New England. That's scary.
That's going
to
be a cold, potential cold weather game. Especially. You actually never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, in New England, depending on the time of year, you can get a fog game. You can get snow, rain, sideways. It's Boston.
It's up in that area. Know. And then you have the New York, the Giants. And that's a team that plays in the cold half the season.
Yeah, MetLife Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Then you have the Dallas Cowboys. That's a dome.
Potential Thanksgiving game.
Maybe the Colts have not played on Thanksgiving since they got humiliated by the, the Steelers. 2016,
right.
I do believe. Then you go to you go to L.A., Vegas, and then you go to Denver, then you go to Tennessee, Jacksonville, and sadly Jacksonville, and then you have to go to Houston. So, yeah, I think you look at that. I don't know. I'm not going to say win totals yet.
I think the Colts are up to play in London, too.
Yeah, that is rumored. I did say that a while back. The Colts, Jim Irsay wants to go to London and win. He was really mad whenever they lost.
Right.
If you can take away that Jacksonville home game and go to London, they might do it because they don't want to go play in Jacksonville.
Right.
So I don't know why.
They just don't want to play it. Jacksonville. I mean, pretty much London has become Jacksonville's second home.
Yeah, they always usually play there. So that's rumored. The Colts have not been official to play.
And, you know, the NFL wants to expand also into other markets. I know they want to play maybe a game in Germany at some point. You know, I haven't heard anything about this, but you figure they'd probably want to get to Southeast Asia sometime, maybe play a game over somewhere. That'd be cool. I know the Colts, I think they played preseason games in Tokyo, Japan before.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be really cool. I know the Pacers have played overseas in India in the preseason a couple of years ago. It was kind of funny. I heard Chris Daddario interviewed, and they're like, are you in India? And he's like, no, I'm in Indiana. He's just calling the game remote from Indiana. This was before the pandemic, too. But, you know, now it's become kind of commonplace, especially for road games, for those guys to be.
But now it seems like they're going to travel
fully. Yeah. I mean, as a broadcaster, there's nothing that substitutes actually being in the gym for a game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nothing that substitutes that or being at the stadium. I know Matt Taylor, I think it was kind of depending on where they were going or what the team's policies were. But, you know, now as coronavirus kind of lessens its grip or as we learn to live with the virus, that's probably more the way it's going to be. You know, we certainly understand more about it now, and you're starting to see those things lessen. But, you know, the Colts have potential. They have a very easy on-paper schedule.
The second easiest in the NFL.
And you know, that can always change, too, because every year we see teams that were horrible are good the next year. So you always have that ability in the NFL to change.
I mean, we can look at this schedule. And I know, obviously, there's lots of things that have to happen, and we're going to do this probably six or seven more times. Right. You look at the schedule right now, and let's just go to home games, okay? You have the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'd say we beat them. They kind of took a step back.
The official Vegas over-under for the Colts, and I know it's getting into gambling and things like that, so we don't want to promote that, but it's like 9.7 wins.
Yeah, I can see that. And then you have the Steelers week. I don't know what week. Yeah, the Steelers, I'd say they'd beat them. I expect that. And then you have Washington. I mean, Carson Wentz probably going to throw 8 touchdowns. But I do expect us to beat them.
8 touchdowns, 697 yards, NFL record.
And then he'll have like 8 yards in the next game.
And then he'll still throw an interception to lose the game.
Probably. I would be funny. Then you have Washington. I'd say they'd beat them. Then you have Philly. I don't think Philadelphia is that good. I like their head coach, Nick Sirianni. He was here. But I just don't think that team is that good. I think they beat them.
And I still think that they're not settled on their quarterback.
No, I don't think they're happy with Jalen Hurts. Then you have the Chargers. I'm going to say they lose to the Chargers. I think the Chargers are good. And obviously, they could beat any of these teams. Justin Herbert's that guy.
The real deal.
You have Kansas City. I'm going to say they lose to them. Obviously, Kansas City has took a step back, you could say, when it comes to players on their team. Losing Tyron Matthew, Tyreek Hill, but
this is putting it completely on the back of Patrick Mahomes right now.
I don't know. If Patrick Mahomes has to do everything himself, he could get hurt.
Yeah.
And if he gets hurt, that team is nowhere.
Well, we've seen, too, you know, their protection level hasn't been good for Mahomes.
It hasn't been. They won a Super Bowl, and everyone either left, got old, or got hurt.
Yeah.
And they haven't really been the
same. One of their guys was on the Colts roster.
Yeah, Big Fish was a guy who was an all-pro bowler, all-pro. Whenever he was healthy, he got hurt, and then they lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because he didn't play.
Pretty much.
And then they haven't really been the same, but I would still say they're better than us when it comes to the quarterback position. Patrick Mahomes, I was going to say they're going to beat us, but I don't know. Tennessee at home, I'm going to say we lose that game. We never beat Tennessee here. I'm going to say we do beat them in Tennessee, but we'll talk about that in a second. Jacksonville, we do beat them at home every time. And then we have Houston. So that's 5 wins at home. So you're going to go 5-3 at home according to this schedule. That obviously, that's just me and my
mind. I'll give them 6-2 because I think they'll beat the Chiefs.
6-2. There we go. So 6-2, 5-3 for me. Then you have away, Minnesota, a really good team. I think we beat them, though. Minnesota's kind of, they've lost some pieces, added some pieces. I think Matt Ryan's better than Kirk Cousins.
So that is the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 17th game.
That's the outlier because right. They finished second in their division, and the Colts did as well.
So they go up to U.S. Bank Stadium.
Mm-hmm, that beautiful stadium up
gorgeous.
There. But I'll say they'll beat them. And then you have New England in New England. I don't think New England's that good. Again, New England has made less moves in the offseason than the Colts have. They have not done anything.
But we always know that
Bill Belichick.
There's a guy who knows how to draft.
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
He's going to get that wide receiver, and he's going to come in and be the next great. But I don't know. Mac Jones somehow made the Pro Bowl last year. I don't know how. Statistically, Carson Wentz was better in every single thing.
A lot of times those guys make, though, on injuries. You know, somebody says, I can't play.
I just don't. I mean, if you're going to pick Mac Jones, Carson Wentz played better than him last season.
Yeah, but, you know, the amount of stock I put in the Pro Bowl seems to go down every year.
Pro Bowl's pointless at this point. They should just play Madden against each other.
At this point, they should just name it.
It just, go on.
But I know the NFL wants that money that they get because it is on TV.
It is fun to have the skills thing they do. That's fun.
The skills thing is cool. You know, the game, though, is it's not a real game.
Not anymore.
And nobody tackles. Nobody. It's just an exhibition is what it is.
It's silly.
And so why not just make it, you know.
Just make it skills.
Make it Madden and, you know, have two guys play each other in Madden and do it that way. But I know they want or simulate the game. That'd be even more fun.
Yeah, and then I liked it back in the day when they had who can throw the farthest and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Bring that back.
Yeah.
Instead of play the game or make the game.
Like, they're not going to do that because they want that money.
Oh, of course. And the New England, I'm going to say they beat New England, so I'm going to give them 7 wins. The Giants, who knows what's going on, 8 wins. The Cowboys.
That'll be a tough game.
Tough game.
I think the Cowboys have the potential to be
really good, but really bad.
A team that could be in the conversation again, just like they were last year. Basically, they haven't lost much. They haven't gained much.
Yeah, so they're kind of in the middle. I'm going to say they lose that game.
Yeah.
It can go either way. The Colts have been really good against Dallas in the recent memory. The Dallas, I remember they were on a run 2016. Colts squashed them at home and gave them a goose egg. Maybe that'd be something we'd see again. I don't know. You have the Raiders.
I tell you what, though, going back to the Cowboys, I really like their quarterback.
Who, Prescott?
Yeah. Dak.
You like,
I like
him
Dak.
Or you don't like
I
him?
I like Dak a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets – I mean, anybody who's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is going to get an inordinate amount, if I could say it, an inordinate amount of criticism and also an inordinate amount of praise. So the truth is somewhere in the middle. But I saw just a tremendous interview with Dak Prescott by Graham Bensinger. And the guy is just an all-around good human being.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas has a great quarterback. And I was kind of secretly hoping that they wouldn't re-sign him and maybe he would get, blue.
That would have been nice if he would have came.
But Dak Prescott, I like him a lot. And again, he gets a lot of beef, or beef is the wrong word. He gets a lot of
hate.
Yeah, exactly. He gets a lot of hate from the national media. He gets a lot of probably unwarranted praise at times from the national media. But I think Dak Prescott is certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the league and probably one of the best quarterbacks the Dallas Cowboys have had.
Oh, yeah. He's the talent. He's an extreme talent.
I mean, he's right there. Tony Romo, great quarterback. I mean, you could go back. Is he Roger Staubach? No. There's only one Roger Staubach. But when you start looking at who the Cowboys have had, he's in that same conversation.
Oh, yeah. Then you have the Raiders. The Colts have beat up on them in recent memory, except last year.
Yeah, when they needed it.
And they added on Devontae Adams. But I still think it's going to be the same Raiders team that they've been.
Derek Carr settled.
Re-signed their 3-year extension for $120. That's a bunch of money. I'm going to say they beat the Raiders.
I do think that I didn't know how the Raiders in Las Vegas would play.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty cool stadium. They've done a really cool job. Finally gave the Raiders a stadium they deserved that they didn't have in Oakland. You know, it was a dump. I mean, the A's are still trying to get out of that dump. They have to move to do it. But, the Raiders, I think they played very well in Oakland.
Yeah. And I'm going to say the Colts beat them, though.
And that'll be there'll probably be a lot of Colts fans there because, you know,
Colts
seems
fans.
Like people want to go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And that game, I could see that being a primetime game.
Yeah.
I could see a bunch of these being primetime games. The Colts, they played well in primetime last year.
Of course, rejuvenated Monday Night Football coming this year, too, with Joe Buck. I said his dad and Troy Aikman.
And then you have the Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson.
Yep.
That's a
kind of changes the calculus on that game.
A coin flip.
But John Fox will probably have a little bit more into that game.
Yeah, since he used to coach there, obviously with Peyton Manning as his quarterback.
Right.
The Colts, as of right now, we have 4 games remaining. They have 9 wins, according to me.
He was kind of unceremoniously
he shouldn't have been
let
fired.
Go.
He should have not been fired.
He should have been fired in Chicago.
Oh, he didn't do anything in Chicago. But in Denver, he didn't deserve it. They went to a Super Bowl, they lost, and then they lost to the Colts in the divisional the next year, and he got fired. And then Kubiak basically got the team handed to him and won it.
Yep, Gary Kubiak.
But, Brady, do you have win total still? You had 6 at home, and then you had them. Did you have them beating Minnesota?
Yes.
Beating New England?
Yes.
Okay, so that gives them 8. Beating New York,
Colts.
9.
Colts winning in New England, though. Oh, man, that's going to be tough.
And then you have 9 with the Giants. Then you have them losing to Dallas.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but yeah.
So 9, and then you have them beating or losing to Raiders.
I think they beat the Raiders.
So you have 10. I have 9 currently.
Yeah.
Wins. Denver, that's a coin flip. Denver, I think they have a really good defense.
I need to see more from the Broncos. I need to see what they do in the draft. I just don't feel like Russell Wilson was completely the answer.
Yeah, they still had holes.
Yeah.
And they traded away some really good pieces to get
him. I mean, we know they're very good on defense. Russell Wilson is an amazing quarterback, but he's got to have – it's just like – the same thing with Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have somebody throw it to and hand it to.
And they do. They have Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, 2 guys who I wish the Colts would have.
Right.
They just have Michael Pittman Jr. But Denver lost their best tight end. Their offensive line, they did improve, but they lost some defensive pieces. And they don't really – I mean, their running back is decent. I'm going to say the Colts beat the Broncos right now. My opinion might change by the time
– I would say that starts. The Broncos – have one of the best fan bases in the NFL.
Oh, yeah,
and you know that Mile High or Invesco Field at Mile High or whatever it's called, this week, if it's not on fire. They had a big fire there earlier this year. But in Vesco, it's a tough place to play.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Under that big statue of the Bronco. It's a tough place to go and win, no matter who's quarterbacking the Broncos. That's one of the, you know, best stadiums in the NFL, and it's one of the hardest places to go in and win. So Colts will have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, but I'll say they'll win. So you have them at 11 wins now. I have them at 10.
Right.
Then you have Tennessee at home, away at home. Well, Tennessee away for the Colts, home versus Tennessee.
I'll have them split.
Yeah, I'll have the Colts beat Tennessee there. Jacksonville at Jacksonville.
I'm split.
So you think they'll lose that one?
Sure, they always do.
I'm going to say they'll win that one because I think it's going to be in London, and hopefully they beat them in London.
They didn't beat them in London last time.
Yeah, but the Colts had a different team last time.
Yeah, you know, it's like New England, the team that is their kryptonite is the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Doesn't matter how good or bad or indifferent the Miami Dolphins are, they always seem to rise up and beat the New England Patriots at least once.
Yeah.
The Colts and the Jaguars are the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
It just seems like every team has that one franchise that just kind of just gets them right in the ribs every time, you know? Think you're pretty good. Oh, no, here you go.
So now we're both at 11 wins. I'm going to say the Jaguars, they beat them. So now we both actually have 12, I do think.
Yep.
So, and then Houston. So 13.
Yeah, I think that's too many wins.
Yeah, I'm going to bump it down and just say 12.
Yeah.
I don't know what game would be different. Maybe New England. I'll say New England.
I think 11. I think 11's a good number. I think the Colts get to 11 wins. They might win the division. I
think they will win the division.
I think 12 is absolutely. 11, probably.
Tennessee lost a lot.
10, they make the playoffs.
Yeah, 10, they make the playoffs. I mean, they should have made it this year at 10. Yeah. In all reality, they should have had 11 this year.
Yeah.
But
could have had more.
If they didn't start 1-5 or 2-5, whatever they started.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting season for them.
Getting off to a good start is going to be paramount for the
Colts. It's going to be huge. They haven't done it in the Frank Reich era.
Mm-hmm.
They started 5-2 with Rivers. So they started decent with them, but they did start like 1-2.
Right.
And then they went got hot.
Well, and I think the Jacoby Brissett year, they started out really well, but
5-2
it was fool's gold.
Yeah.
I think everybody knew they were coming. And then once Jacoby got hurt,
he still played, but he played poorly. And yeah, they ended up winning only two more games the rest of the season and missed the playoffs. But, yeah, it's basically going to be it for the show. Just talking about things we'll probably talk about 80 more times.
Yeah. I mean, IndyCar's off this weekend.
Yeah, for
the next 2 weeks. They will be, they get this break. I think, is NASCAR racing this weekend? A lot of times they take the Easter weekend off.
I don't know.
Pretty sure NASCAR might be off, too. So, we'll have the PGAs in Harbortown Links this weekend, so it's kind of where they get the checkered jacket for the winter there. So should be a good weekend. NBA basketball
playoffs.
Yep,
talking playoffs.
And you want the Cavaliers want to root for Nate McMillan tonight?
Go Cavs.
You don't want to root for Nate McMillan. You want to root against Nate McMillan tonight?
Well, tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Tomorrow at 7. Go Cavs, though. Go Cleveland.
Colts. Once again, the Pacers would get the first round
pick of the Cavs if the Cavs
win. And that would be in the 15 to whatever
15-17 range.
Yep.
So that would still be a really good first rounder for the Pacers, especially for a guy, Caris LeVert, who's averaged 10 in his stint with the Cavs.
Yeah. So Kevin Pritchard fell in a mud puddle there and came up looking good.
Yeah. And hopefully, if they make the playoffs. But that's going to be it. Next upcoming Tuesday, we'll talk about everything that's happened in the NBA. Maybe the Colts sign a player, probably not. Who knows? We'll see you then. Have a good rest of your week.
If not, we'll talk about what Chris Ballard had for lunch.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Chris Ballard went on a walk with his dog.
Yeah.
We'll see you then.
Jim Irsay gave away a gift certificate.